Hey marketers, if you want to get the latest news, trends, and insights in marketing, advertising, and tech, check out the Adweek Podcast Network. Learn from leading voices across media and marketing with original shows like Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, Marketing Vanguard, and Tech Magic with Kathy Hackle. Start listening now by searching Adweek wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, a show where we discuss trends, pop culture, and corporate baddies. Because at the end of the day, everything is an ad. I am coming to you live from our podcast lounge at one of our biggest events of the year, Social Media Week.
And my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.
And my first guest is the elite corporate baddie creator, DeAndre Brown.
DeAndre. Greetings.
How are you doing? You just killed your session. That went
so
well.
Yeah, the session was so good. I'm doing good. I'm still on a high from the session.
Yeah.
So
adrenaline going.
Yeah, you know, once you get me talking, I will not shut up.
Oh, so good. Well, and we just said too, we just did a show of hands of people in the audience, and this is the first time for a lot of people in here listening to this podcast. So good. I'm feeling the pressure. You're the first guest also of the event. So, but I think we're going to be good.
Yeah, no, okay. we'll be great.
Yeah.
I mean, the setup alone is so elite. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm on a couch. I'm just comfortable.
Couch, yeah.
I'm just letting my hair down. And I'm
put
ready,
your
you know,
feet up, everything. Well, DeAndre, let's reflect first. So you've taken the world by storm through your corporate baddie content. It is hilarious. It's a way of poking fun at the antiquated norms of the workplace, and it is hella relatable. Mm-hmm. Like, when I was watching your stuff, it's on point. Even the stuff about millennials, I don't get offended. It's true. Could you have ever envisioned it would resonate with people the way it has?
When I first started, I would say no. But I will say that as I started to create the content and as I started doing like the Gen Z in the workplace videos, I did start to understand, wait, wow, I'm not the only one that thinks like this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you're in corporate, and I was right out of college, I was I was the only person in my division that was my age. Everyone else was older. They had been there 10 plus years. Oh, God, they were going through it. But me, I was so new. I was so young. So I wasn't really communicating with a lot of other people that were my age, that were just joining corporate America. So when I first started, I'm like, this is just me using social media as my quote unquote diary to talk about what I want to say at work or I was too afraid to say at work. However, I quickly saw that I was not the only one that was thinking this way. There were a lot of other Gen Zs thinking this way. Not only were there other Gen Zs thinking this way, there were other generations sick of us, saying we don't want to work. Keep in mind, I had no clue that this was like a huge conversation that was taking place in the real world. Yeah, so it's been... I didn't know at first, but I think it started to make sense as it kept going.
Yeah, it was more like a way to deal with, oh my God, what did I just get into?
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's go back to this inspiration. So you went to Morehouse and then you went on to go land your high corporate job, high level internships at in government and corporate. So you probably saw a lot of stuff. And I'm not going to put you on the spot to call out any anyone specific, but were you ever just sitting there and kind of taken aback by the actual workplace? I mean, you just touched on this a little bit, but did you ever have a moment and you're like, oh my God, this is it? Like, what is this?
I think that was what really drew me to the platform TikTok. I just realized so many people I was working with were so, and I'm not saying this in a rude way, but they're just brainwashed by the system.
Right,
and they
drinking felt the Kool-Aid. Like,
this is it.
Yeah.
It's all they talk about. And I just knew that there was more for me. I'm like, mm-hmm. This cannot be it. You know, I enjoy corporate America. I love a good corporate setting. I love a good happy hour. I really do enjoy it.
Yeah. I mean, you're in your suit right now. You look great.
I always wear my suits. You know, I love a good suit because there are things that I really do enjoy about corporate America.
Right.
But as far as not being able to put me first and not being able to prioritize or balance, I'll say, work and life was a huge issue for me.
Gotcha.
And other people, what I thought was an issue, they would brag about. Oh, yeah, I was up all night working on this, but I did this until, oh, I've been up since 6 a.m. Well, I've been up since 5 a.m. And I'm just looking, y'all all sound crazy as hell. And that's, you know, so, wow, I'm getting off topic.
No, this is good. This is good. And I agree. Like, what was your favorite part about the corporate workplace? Was it the pizza parties that, you know, they give out?
Gosh.
Jeans Day?
That's the last thing I cared about was a pizza party. Give me money, you know?
I think that's everyone thinks the same, yes.
My favorite part about corporate was, there's a few things. I'm going to say this honestly. Okay. I really, really loved the consistency. I love that I know every 2 weeks I'm gonna get a check.
Yes.
You know, that's such a great feeling.
Stability.
To know every 2 weeks that it's gonna clear. You can go, you know, that I miss that. I also will say I genuinely enjoy being in environments where I'm challenged. Mm-hmm. And one thing I will say about corporate America is that I don't see as much in the work I do now is, what's the word, where you're stimulated mentally, mental stimulation.
Yeah.
It's way harder to find now, to the point where I'm like, oh, maybe I should go back to school or something. But when you're in those corporate spaces, there's always challenging ideas. There's always different perspectives. You learn so much, not only about yourself, but about other cultures because you work in a diverse place of employment. So although I may bash corporate America sometimes, I will say that there are things I actually did enjoy that I really do miss about it.
Yeah, that makes total sense. So are you trying to find ways to challenge yourself in this setting? Like say a brand comes to you and they're like, DeAndre, you're like, you know, these social platforms, you're great at creating content, come work for us, you know, would you like consider it?
No.
Okay.
I think that
everybody put their phone down.
I think that's kind of why I started my own consultancy agency, which was why it allows me to get back into a space where I feel like I'm back in a corporate setting, you know? And I get to work with brands and I get to share what I think brands should be doing from a social media setting, but also from a retention of Gen Z in a workplace setting.
Gotcha.
So, but would I go work for somebody? No, but they can come, they can hire my company to do consulting work for them because when you do consulting work, you're still in control. So you can't control, you can only control me to a certain extent. I'll say that.
And it's also like kind of more project based. It's less commitment. Yeah. And you're your own boss, which is like the dream.
Yeah. Well, you know, I question that because I used to think, yes, this is the dream. I'm my own boss. I do my own thing. But I started realizing that what's a dream to me may not be the dream for everybody. Mm. And everyone doesn't want, it's honest, everyone doesn't want to be an entrepreneur. And I do not blame them because entrepreneurship is very up and down. It's all over the place. There's so much you, I said this earlier, but there's so much you learn about yourself throughout entrepreneurship, good and bad. You have hard days. I was literally, I don't think I've ever shared this. I was depressed for an entire year. Oh my goodness. Because I just didn't know what was next. I didn't know where I was being led. Such a, just thinking back to it is hard. But what I will say is that it has its ups and downs. And will it reinvent itself? Hell yes, it will. Mm-hmm. But I think throughout the journey, you start to learn how to deal with those things, with the ups and downs.
Yeah.
And how to be happy and not allow the ups and downs of entrepreneurship to control you. That was a huge tangent I just went on. But
no, this is good.
I'm just saying all that to really say that you said entrepreneurship as the dream. And I used to be the person that would tell my audience, you need to be an entrepreneur. You should be doing your own thing. When that's not the case. Mm-hmm. That's not the case. Everyone isn't built for this. But if you are someone who doesn't want to go on an entrepreneurial path, make sure that you are still advocating for yourself in the places that you occupy.
I love that. So. And that's not a tangent at all. I'm like soaking it. I have like 3 million questions actually after that. But, you know, we actually have covered the creator economy quite a lot at Adweek. And our former creator reporter, Emmy Lederman, actually wrote about the loneliness epidemic that affects creators, which is something that you just touched on. So I actually think this is a lot more common than we all think. So I would love to not to dig too dark deep into this dark part, but in that year, what did you learn? Like, how did you get out of it for anyone who may be kind of in that place?
That's a good question. I think what led me there was when I quit my job and did all of that, I was receiving so much press. I was mega viral everywhere. So there was this huge high. But what people don't talk about enough is that what happens when it dies down?
Right.
You know, that doesn't stay at its peak forever. And I wasn't aware of that. I thought it would just be at that peak the entire time. I'm like, oh, it's just going to continue to get even bigger and bigger and bigger. But no, it eventually it dies down. And during that time where it died down, I started to tie my worth to my performance. So I felt like, well, I'm not performing well online. That everyone hates me. I'm not enough. I'm not worthy. Maybe I should go back to corporate. Maybe this was a fail. And people are very nasty people on these platforms that would say things like, because I would get on, people could pick up on the energy because I would go live and I would be in live and people were like, would always be in a live, like, are you happy? Are you okay? Blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
And then people would say comments like, no, he's not happy, y'all. He thought that he was going to take off from posting those, you know, so you get a lot of negative stuff. And I think what got me out of it was I had to learn, this is a part of entrepreneurship, how to reinvent yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that people within this industry, they get so caught up in the I'm not enough, I'm not worthy anymore, that they forget the bigger purpose, the bigger mission. And the only way that can happen is by reinventing yourself, honestly. It's because the videos I did about Gen Z in the workforce when I first started are not the same videos I do about Gen Z in the workforce now. It's the same message, but I go about telling it differently, right? And once I reinvented myself, I started to feel better, but not. I didn't feel better because my numbers and attraction was picking up. I felt better because I no longer was giving up on myself. Mm-hmm. When I was in that depressed space, I was giving up on myself. I was like, I can't do this. This isn't for me anymore. I also had a team that was not helping or that as well, you know. But once I realized, you know, I can do this. I got this. Mm-hmm. God didn't bring me this far to leave me, to lose me. That is when I really felt a lot better. And I started making connections within the industry, which I was afraid to do at first. I started taking different opportunities than I used to. And by doing that, when I stopped caring about numbers and I started caring more about me and prioritizing me and knowing that I was enough and telling myself that I was enough, I started to see growth. I just hit like 1 million followers finally.
Wow. Congrats.
And it only came because, granted, we're saying congrats. And I mean, thank you all. But followers don't mean anything.
Right, right.
None of that matters. And I think that's where I've gotten where it's like, I don't allow that stuff to define me.
Yeah.
I could have 100,000 followers. I could have lost all the followers I had and have 50,000 people still following me. That would be enough.
Right.
Because my message is powerful and I know it's powerful and I no longer allow people to tell me it's not.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow. So what I'm hearing is you believe in yourself, yeah, a strong support system, challenging yourself.
Yeah.
That's true to you. Okay.
You have to.
Yeah.
So,
hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hatch because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing. They handle everything from brainstorming to polishing your content so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
So that you just touched on this a little bit, but and I mentioned earlier, there seems to be a bit of a generational comment war in your posts between millennials and Gen Z.
Yeah.
Not me, I promise. I think it's on point about millennials.
I think I've seen you in those comments, but I'm just kidding.
I'm like, this isn't us. But how do you, and you just touched about this, but like, how do you protect your peace both personally and professionally? Because you just said it's not about the followers. So I'm assuming that engagement is also what it's about. But how do you protect your peace there? When it comes to like comment sections feedback?
One thing about social media, for people that are listening that do it or want to do it, sister, you got to get some thick skin and quick. You got to do it. I'm telling you, they will tear you to shreds.
Right.
That's the game that we're in, you know? They won't say it to your face or in person, though, and that's what matters. Because anyways,
No, you're right. This is all true.
But I think that when it comes to receiving mixed feedback on my Gen Z posts, I don't take it to heart simply because my goal with that content isn't to put myself on blast. It's more so to start the conversation and to really start to drive that conversation, which it has around working with Gen Z in the workforce. So I don't take it personal.
Okay.
And I realize that a lot of it is because there these other similar to any other topic on online, there's always mixed reviews and mixed opinions on things. And it's because some people just haven't been exposed to Gen Z. Like some of the people that make the people that make the decisions at this company, none of them in the room are Gen Z. Mm-hmm. You know, so they don't even, you know, so it's like starting that conversation so those people that are making those decisions can see, wait, maybe we should prioritize Gen Z. Maybe we should put our value and Gen Z. So I don't take anything in the comments personal about my content when it comes to Gen Z or any other content I make. I feel like people always say they don't care, but I really don't care.
Yeah, yeah. You can't. Yeah. You can't really. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're making people laugh, and that's really, at the end of the day, you're really creating relatable content. I hope you know. Like, what I see in your video, it's an exaggeration of what we go through, but it's relatable, and that's why it resonates with people. Yeah.
And it's good you touch on that, the exaggeration part of it.
Yes.
Because sometimes people say, they'll be like, they'll say in the comments, if any of you all say this to your boss, you will be fired ASAP. And it's like, well, no, you know, like, of course.
Yeah,
you
don't have to, say this don't to your
say
boss.
It like this. This is for fun. This is to be funny. Like, yes. But there's still a way you can say this and get the same message across. But no, do not tell your boss.
Yeah.
Do not slam your laptop in the middle of a, you know what I mean? Yes. Don't do that. But there's a way to go about doing it.
Yeah. So we're asking this question to all our podcast guests. So it's a hot topic. There was a fake creator ad from a brand called Get Dirty last week, which was created using a deep fake app called Arcads. How do you think AI or deepfakes will impact the creator economy specifically? Like, the celebs are shaking in their boots right now about this kind of technology, but how do you think it'll impact creators, like, for better or for worse?
That's a good question. I saw something, I think it was on TikTok, actually, and someone was, no, it wasn't. It was a thing of, I think it was Kendall Jenner, and they had made an AI Kendall Jenner to... I could be screwing this whole story up. But the point of that I'm trying to get at here is that I think AI is going to be our friend. However, I think as AI continues to grow, it's going to have us going back to the drawing board with our contracts and when it comes to what we own and our usage and stuff of that nature. Because I think of an example, like, let's say I'm working with a brand. And they love me, they work with me, and then they say, you know what, we'll just make an AI DeAndre Brown. And then they continue to do the same thing. Right, it's terrifying. They continue to do the same thing that they're already doing, but it's no longer me, and I'm no longer being paid, and I'm no longer receiving payment for my likeness and for my usage, right?
Right.
So I think it is just going to cause us to, similar to anything that's new and upcoming, when it affects people's careers and people's likeness and how they make a living, it'll just call us to go back to the drawing board on, okay, how do we draft up language that still protects the individual? Which I think we're starting to see a lot with musical artists too, because I know there's like AI songs and all this crazy stuff now, so...
Right. No, I love that. Legal people need to be like on speed dial.
Yeah, get an attorney.
Yeah.
You're a creator.
Yeah. Or not.
Or you not. Know. Well, yeah, really.
Yeah. Okay, so my last question for you is a fun one. You know what? There's two questions. Okay. You tell me which one you want to go with. Okay. I was going to ask you, okay, either any creator trends you see fizzling out, or do you want to talk about, you're a creator, what's on your social feeds? Which one would you like?
Ooh.
Or you can answer both.
Fizzling, trends fizzling out. You know what's crazy? It was fizzling out, but it's kind of started to reinvent itself recently, the TikTok dances.
Really? Have you met Colin Daniels on our team? He's infamous for his TikTok dances. Yeah, yeah.
I've been seeing them coming back, and I'm like, because they were gone.
Yeah.
They're gone. And then, but fizzling out, meaning, you know what's fizzling out? Short form content on TikTok.
That's what we've been hearing.
Yeah.
Sammy Lambert, our head of social, called it. She said long form content is coming back.
Yeah, they're not pushing the shorter form content anymore on TikTok.
Yeah.
Because I'll post, unless it's like really hysterical or... it's really, really, really relatable. Emphasis on the really, 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 really relatable. It doesn't get pushed as hard as like if I post. So nowadays, I just get on the phone and I'll talk for like 3 minutes because I talk a lot. I talk a lot. So I'll actually talk for 6 minutes and then I'll cut it down to 3 minutes. Uh-huh. And they'll do well. They'll perform well. And I'm just like, oh, okay. So yeah, I think we're fizzling out of short form content for sure. And we're going more back into long term. And I think that we've seen this happen in the past. Vine was short form. Everyone got off Vine. And then we were doing posts and everyone got on YouTube. And then TikTok came and now we're back to short. So it just keeps, it's always all over. Nobody knows what they want to do.
Yeah.
No one knows what they want to do. I'm interested to see what's going to be the next platform that takes over.
Do you think it's going to be an existing platform or you think it's going to be just a newcomer just coming and owning the space?
See, TikTok was existing prior because it was, what was TikTok before TikTok? It was Musical.ly.
Yes.
So it's probably going to just be someone who we've known, but no one cares about. And they're going to rebrand.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of one, but I don't even want to bash anybody. So yeah. Okay. We'll see if anyone reemerges.
I think that there's going to be a new... I see it happen. There's going to be someone new to shake up the atmosphere.
I hope Twitter comes back, like, as its normal self and not as X.
Ciao.
Wow, right? Like, I miss the old Twitter.
I'm going to pass on that one.
Yeah. Well, DeAndre, thank you so much. I have more questions to ask you, but you know what? We're just going to keep tuning into your content. Absolutely. And you're keeping it fresh, and you are so enjoyable to talk to. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. This was great.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, part of the Adweek Podcast Network and Acast Creator Network. This podcast was produced by me, Al Manarino, executive produced by Chris Ahrens and John Heil, and edited by Lane McGivney at Boutwell Studios. You can listen and subscribe to all of Adweek's podcasts by visiting adweek.com/podcasts. Stay updated on all things Adweek Podcast Network by following us on Twitter at Adweek Podcast. And if you have a question or suggestion for the show, send us an email at podcast@adweek.com. Thanks for listening.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.